Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Erevin Daf Lamed. We have five lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Umi Amar Reb Shimon Elazar Hachi? Is that so? The Reb Shimon Elazar taught us that when it comes to determining the size of these su'udais for Erev, how much food needs to be placed at the Erev Tchumen, we follow the standard meal size of your average person, meaning even if this person is a rav son, a gluttonous person who requires a large size meal, we don't reckon with that. And we suffice even with a meal size for the which is suitable for the average person. Is that the case that we ignore the individual needs and we follow standard? Umi amar b'shem Elazar hachi? Is that the case? V'atanya. But we learned in a braisa which indicates otherwise, that we do reckon with the individual person and his size and his needs. Rav Shem Elazar Omer, Oig Melech HaBashan, who was a giant, Pischoy Kemoloyoy. Now this is in reference to the halacha of Tuma, where when there's a mace, a dead person in a home, the halacha is that all the psachim, all the openings, the entranceways to that home, carry Tuma. So if anything sitting under that entranceway, even if there's a mechita between him and the mace, or between him and the oil of the mace, the entranceways themselves contain Tuma. That's the exit route of the mace. It's going to be transported through these openings, through the window, the opening of the doorway, so they're all tummy. Now, if one of them gets designated, this is going to be the Pesach where they will carry the mace out through there, then the Tumah only pertains to that Pesach and gets removed from the other Pesachim, because this is the designated Pesach, which will serve as the exit route. So Shem Elazar tells us, although generally speaking, the standard size of a Pesach is a minimum of 4 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide. That's a halachic share of a Pesach. But when it comes to a large size mace, like Oig Melech HaBashan, you can't designate a small size Pesach with 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim as a designated root of this mace. It's too large. This door has to accommodate the Oig Melech HaBashan. Pischoy Kimeloyoy. His entranceway, meaning the Pesach, which is going to serve as the exit route of this mace, needs to accommodate him, needs to be the size of Oig Melech HaBashan. So apparently we do reckon with individual sizes, individual needs, in contrast to the Erev, where Shem Elazar tells us, we ignore this gluttonous fellow, only require a smaller shear, which is suitable for your average person. Says the Gemara, this difference. V'abaye, he'll respond as follows. Sabai responded, Hasam, over there by the mace, it's just a practical consideration. Generally speaking, we do follow the average person, the average need. Over there, hechi navid, lavid, what's he going to do? What should he do? Hadumi nahadmi v'nafke? Should he cut up the mace and take him out? He's not going to fit out of this narrow doorway unless he provide a large-sized Pesach. Therefore, says Abaye, when it comes to the halacha, there's merely a practical consideration that's preventing us from applying this standard rule to all. It's based on practicalities. It must potentially serve as an exit route for the mace. Therefore, Rav Shimon Elazar insists that it must accommodate, and it must be large in size to accommodate the mace. Says the Gemara, Iboilos, they ask the following question. Pligi Rabban Alei, the Rav Shimon Elazar, I lied. The Rabban disagree with Rav Shimon Elazar when it comes to the Oig Melech HaBashan. They'll say no, as long as you have a valid doorway, you have a valid size doorway for Tfachim, that's enough. Even for the Oig Melech HaBashan, it could be designated as his exit route. Oiloi, or perhaps they agree with Rav Shimon Elazar and that halacha. You can only designate it if it is large in size. Tashma, let's listen to the Raya, the Amar Rava, Rav Chanan, Rav Yechanan. Oig Melech HaBashan, how large does the Pesach need to be? Pischei Barba. It needs to be 4 Tfachim in size. Apparently, the Rabbanan disagree. They hold even a smaller size Pesach, as long as it's considered to be halachically as a Pesach, it's 4 tefachim size, that is enough. Says the no. Hasam, that halacha of Yochanan was pertaining to a very specific situation. The Ikeh Pesachim Ktan Tuva. We have many openings to this home, which are smaller in size than this Pesach. They're smaller than 4 tefachim. There's one amongst them, which is actually larger in size. It has 4 tefachim. Now, this is a unique situation, meaning he's certainly going to have to make renovations here. Enlarge one of these openings in order to carry the mace out. So we assume, which one is he going to enlarge? The Vada, ki kamarvach, bahu kamarvach. Certainly, when he's going to be marvach, he's going to enlarge that specific one. The larger size one, it's logical, he's going to apply his renovation to the larger size entranceway, enlarge it to allow the Oyim al-Chabashan out. So that's what Rechon is speaking about. If you have many smaller ones, smaller than four tefachim, one which conforms to the shiur four tefachim, the assumption is, although he needs to enlarge, it's that one which will be enlarged, and therefore, that is the one that's tameh, everything else is tar. But in the case mentioned earlier, where we have many doorways, many entranceways, many openings, which are all equally sized, in this case, Rabban surely will agree to Rav Shimon Lazar. There's not one of them that's going to be designated for the Oyig Melech HaBashan, unless it's large enough to accommodate the giant. So in summation, when it comes to Erev, Rav Shimon Lazar tells us, we follow standard procedure. We only require your standard size meal, even for this fellow who requires more. When it comes to the Tuma, Abai explained to us, that's based on a practical consideration. It needs to have the ability to accommodate the mace on his way out of the home. Therefore, in that case, the Gemara concluded that if they're all equally sized, we can't designate one of them for the mace, for the Oyig Melech HaBashan, unless it's large enough to accommodate him. But if they're all smaller than four tefachim, one of them has four tefachim, in this case, the assumption is that it's going to be this one which will accommodate the giant, and therefore this one is tamei, and everything else is tamei. Getting back to Halacha of Erev, Amar Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi, Amar Rav, Ma'avrim Basar Chai. One can make an Erev with raw meat. We discussed this in Daf Chavtes. In Bavel, they would perhaps eat raw meat, or I'm speaking about salted meat, which is edible. Amar Rav Simi bar Chiya, Ma'avrim Bebeitzim Chayas. One can make an Erev using raw eggs as well, which are sometimes eaten in a time of necessity. V'kama, how many eggs are needed for the Erev? Amar Rav Nachmar Yitzchak, Sinai Amar. Rabbi Yosef was called Sinai because he was well versed in Mishnayos and Braises, like Har Sinai. So Rabbi Yosef said, how many eggs are needed? Shnayim, two eggs. Continues the Gemara. Hanoyder min hamazoin muter b'mayim u'b'melach. Getting back to our Mishnah, which told us that when a person makes a nether, he makes a vow to refrain from eating mazoin, sustenance, he can go ahead and partake in water and salt, which are not called mazoin. Says the Gemara, apparently this only pertains to water and salt, but everything else, all the types of foods, are considered mazin. Melech u'mayim hudu l'ikri mazin. Only those two are not categorized as mazin. Hakol mili ikri mazin. Everything else is classified as mazin, which sustains, which nourishes. Lema tevet yufta d'rava shmol. Perhaps this is a contradiction. This is a kasha on the halacha state of Rav and Shmuel. The Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayu, they both said as follows. Ein mevorchen b'yre minim mezoinis. One cannot make the bracha of b'yre minim mezoinis. Hashem created different forms of sustenance. Elo al chameshes haminim bovad. Can only apply that bracha to the five types of grain, which nourish, which sustain. And this is in conflict with our Mishnah, which seems to tell us that everything other than water and salt is considered mazin. Says the Gemara, okay. V'lav v'svinei chad zimna. Haven't we already, in Maseches Brachas, asked the Kasha on Rabbi Shmuel from somewhere else? So why do we need another Kasha? It says the Gemara, Lema, Tehavet Yevtayvina Mimiha. Although we already have one Kasha on Rabbi Shmuel, one refutation, let's perhaps have another to Yevta from this Mishnah. Meaning if you'll answer the first Kasha, you'll still have another Kasha. So is that the case? Is our Mishnah in conflict with Rabbi Shmuel? Because our Mishnah tells us that one makes a nether from mazon, he's usher, he must refrain from anything except for salt and water. Amar Rav Huna, no. Our Mishnah is speaking about that he actually used a different term. He didn't say, I'm going to refrain from mazon. Rather, Ba'omer was speaking about that he said, kol hazon alai, anything that satiates, that fills, I will abstain from. Therefore, the Mishnah maintains that that applies to any type of food. Except for water and salt, don't even have that ability. But certainly the term mazin, which indicates nourishment, sustenance, that only truly applies to the chameshes haminim, according to Rav Shmuel. Let's take a look at Rashi here, off to the right, just a couple lines up, beginning with the words, b'omer kol hazon alai. Says Rashi, Masnissen, our mission, the Osle Bechol Mili, who prohibits this person in partaking any type of food. Love the Omar Yosolai Mozin. I'm not speaking that he said I'm going to refrain from Mozin. The Vada Eloi Mikri Mozin. Certainly the term Mozin only applies to those five unique things. Elohim Minim. The Abu Min Dogon. The Zaini Visadi Lipa. The five grains, they're unique. Sadi, they satiate, they sustain. Visadi Lipa, they give a person energy and proper nourishment. So Mozin only applies to that, according to Rabbi Shmuel. Ella, rather, our Mishnah, that seems to lump everything together in one category, could go into Omar Yosra like Kol Hazon. So he's committing to abstain from anything which satiates and fills. The Mashma called over Hamas be anything that fills a person. The Chol Mili Zaini, anything has that ability, Chutz Mimayim Melech, except for water and salt. Ava Misad Leisadi. Let me crew Mazin. But the term Mazin doesn't apply to all these other foods because they're not Misad. Misad means it doesn't properly nourish the person. Doesn't properly sustain the person. So we have three categories according to Rav and Shmuel. We have mazon, which applies only to the five types of grain. They nourish, they sustain. We have zon, which applies to anything that fills and satiates, which includes everything except for salt and water. Don't even have that ability. Continues the Gemara. Mayim u'melach. Okay, so the conclusion is that water and salt don't even fill and satiate. Hakol mili zayni. Apparently anything else, all the types of produce and fruit, are zayin. They have that ability to be zon, to fill, to satiate. Is that the case? V'ama Rabba Chana related, ki ava zilna basred Rabbi Yochanan. We would follow Rabbi Yochanan l'meichal peri de ginoisa, to go ahead and eat those, especially lush and sweet fruit of ginoisa, which grew around the Yam Kineris in Eretz Yisrael. So we did as follows. Ki avinan be'meya. If it was 100 of us, hava menaktinan chol chad v'chad asor asor. Each one of us would take hold of 10 of these fruits and hold it for Rabbi Yochanan. Ki avinan be'asor. If it was only 10 of us, hava menaktinan chol chad v'chad meya meya. Each one of us would hold on to 100 of these fruit. So either way, it totaled 1,000. Of these fruit. Now, how large were these fruit? 100 of these have a machlekelhu tsana baslosa savi. They would go into a basket which contained 3 saw. That's how much fruit there was here. So each 100 would equal 3 saw. So we had 1,000. It's a very large quantity. Rav Yochanan would eat all of them, and after he was done, he would make this comment. And he would say, Shvuasa, I swear, to Leitam Ziyuna. I have not been Toyem Ziyuna, meaning I wasn't filled, I wasn't satiated. So apparently, all these other fruits don't have the ability to fill and satiate properly. Says the Gemara, no, that's not what he said. Eimah Mezoina, rather, what he meant to say is, I didn't have Mezoina. I didn't have something of Mazain, which sustains, which nourishes. Which that is unique, according to Rav Shmuel, to the five types of grain. So in summary, according to Rav Shmuel, the chameshes haminim, the five types of grain, only they are called mazin. They sustain, they nourish properly. Regarding other types of foods, they don't have the class of they're not classified as mazin, but certainly they are zon, they fill, they satiate. Whereas mayim u'melach don't even have that ability. Continues the Gemara, Amarav Huna, Amarav. Shvua Shaloi Oichal Kikirzu. What happens if one makes a promise? I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread. Ma'arav Leiba, he can use it for the Erev. Why? Because, although it's not fit for him, he can't eat it, but it's something which is fit and suitable for other people, and that's enough to allow it for the Erev. Kikirzu Olai. But if he employs a different term, this is a nether. So Shvo means he makes a promise, I'm not going to do something, I'm not going to eat. That was the first halach. Kikar zu olai, this loaf of bread is asar olai on me. I meant to abstain from this loaf in any shape or form, meaning not only from eating it, I can't even have benefit, hana from it. Eim ma'ar v'leibo, then it cannot be used for his eruv. Let's take a look at Rashi, off to the right side, 3 lines up, with the words ma'ar v'leibo, says Rashi, This is the first case where he makes a shvuah, I'm not going to eat it. That can be used. Why? He only committed to refrain from eating. I'm not going to eat it. He's not eating it. He's only using it for the Erev. What about the fact that it's not suruh for him? He can't eat it. The point of Erev is that's his sustenance. That's where his food is. That's where his mind is. If he can't eat it, what good is it? Says Rashi. Although it's not suruh for him, it's suruh for other people. And we had this halacha in the Mishnah. It's like the halacha of using wine for the nazar. The chiddush was, even though he himself can't use the wine, but since it's considered to be proper food for other people, the chacham allowed it to be used for anybody. That's the first halacha. Rav Huna follows with another halacha. Kikar zu alai, that's different. That cannot be used. Why? Mashma kol davar hana'asa. Any form of its benefit, of its hana'aka asar alai, is he prohibiting on himself? That's Rav Huna's shita. But there's another view in the Gemara, which will say that even in the second halacha, second case of the nether, where he says, kikar zu alai, it doesn't affect its ability to be used for Erev. Why? Because an Erev is not your typical form of hana, of benefiting from the food. So, assumption is that wasn't included in his intention. That's not what he had in mind. When he said, kikar zu alai, therefore it can be used for the hana of Erev. But right now we're holding, according to Rav Huna Barav, he makes that differentiation, shvua, I'm not going to eat it, then he can use it for the Erev. But if he says kikar zu alai, which indicates that he's making an isra hana from this kikar, it cannot be used for an Erev. Says the Gemara in the first white line, meisve, we ask the kasha, from the following brisa, which seems to say that, even in the case of a neder, he can still use it. He makes a nether from a kikar, it can be used for the Erev. My lover, we're not speaking in a case, domer alai. We employ the term kikar zu alai, where it's a proper nether. He must abstain from any form of benefit of hana of this kikar. Nevertheless, the Brisa indicates that he can use it for the Erev. Why? Because this is not the ikar hana of a loaf of bread it's meant to be eaten. The hana of Erev was not included in his initial intent when he made this nether, says the Kashan Rav Huna. Says, Wallahi, the Omar Zu, the Brisa which allows it to be used for the Erev, is speaking where he said, Shvu, I'm not going to eat this kikar. In this case, Rav Huna agrees. It can be used for the Erev. Hachinam Mistaver, this seems indeed to be the proper interpretation. The Ketani Seif, because the Brisa continues. Amosai, when can he use this kikar, this loaf? Bizman Shomar Shvu, Shaloi Etam Ena. When he said a shvuah, then I'm not going to have anah from it. Shaloi eta amena. Which means I'm not going to taste it, I'm not going to eat it. But if you would say kikar zu alai, which indicates no encompassing iser, even iser anah, certainly that cannot be used for the Erev. Says Zuma, really? Aval omar alai, mai? But if you would say kikar zu alai, what would be the halacha? Hachanami de emer la'avon le'ba? Certainly in that case, it cannot be used for the nether, according to your approach. Yachi, if that's the case. The Brisa proceeds and gives us another example. An example where he cannot use it for the Erev. What example does the Brisa cite? A case where he made this kikar hegdish. He says this loaf should be like hegdish. He's giving it right to the base of hegdish. In this case, since it's not suitable for anybody's consumption, nobody can have it, nobody can eat it. Therefore, this person as well cannot use it for his Erev. Says the Gemara, now if you maintain that even in the case where he doesn't make it Hegdish, all he says is Kikar Zu Alai, which applies a Isser Neder, which includes Isser Hana, even in that case he cannot use it for his Erev. If that's the case, Ihachi, Adetani, Kikar Zu Hegdish, Eima Avon Leiba, rather than the Brisa going to find a case of Kikar Zu Hegdish, where he cannot use it for the Erev because it's usur upon all. It's totally unsuitable for the common person's consumption. Therefore, it cannot be used for the Erev. Because one cannot use Hegdish for an Erev. Rather than find that far-fetched case, meaning rather than divert to a case of Hegdish, the Brisa could have simply made a split, meaning differentiated within the context of a loaf of bread which belongs to chulin, a non-hegdish loaf, we can make a distinction. In one case it's mutter, one case it's aser. V'med v'mamurim. When is this halacha said that you can use this kikor for the Erev? Do'amar zu. That's strictly when he said, I'm not going to eat this kikar, which is only a shvua, I'm going to refrain from achila. That can be used for the Erev. Aval omar alai, but should he say kikar zu alai, which includes even benefit, even hanah, eima arvan leipo, that cannot be used for the Erev. So according to you, Rav Huna, that we have that chiluk between, that personal issa, I'm not going to eat it, in which case he can use it for the Erev, as opposed to where he says kikar zu alai, he makes a neder to refrain from any hanah from this kikar, where he cannot use it for the Erev. So why couldn't the Brisa simply make that distinction for us? A kikur shol chulin, sometimes it can be used, sometimes it cannot be used. Why do we need to go all the way to the Hegdish to present us an example of something that cannot be used? Omalach Rav Huna. So Rav Huna will respond, okay, Elamai. So what are you going to say? Kol hecha da omar alai ma'arvin? Even when he says kikur zu alai, that's okay. Kashi reisha. Now you have a kasha from the first part of the Brisa. Because the Brisa began, so it was on the first wide line, Hanoide ben akikar, ma'arvan leba. And the next line, the Gemara said that the Brisa itself said, Eimasai bezman, shamar shvua shaloi etamena. That only applies to a case where he said a shvua, I'm not going to taste, I'm not going to eat it. So the Brisa itself is indicating for us the heter to use this kikar only applies strictly to this case. He makes a shvua, promise, I'm not going to eat it. But apparently if he says, this loaf of bread is asher on me, I'm abstaining from this net, this loaf with a power of a nether, he cannot use it for the Erev. So the wording in the initial phase of the Brisa seemed to indicate that a kikar zu alai is asher, in contrast to your opinion. So you have a kash from the Reisha. So meaning, you ask the kasha on me, from the Sefer, but I'm going to respond that the ratio, the first part of the Brisa, seems to conflict with your approach. Says the Gemara, no, ratio chasur mechsur. Regarding the ratio of the Brisa, we must learn it as though it's missing some words. V'achik tanin, this is how we're going to learn it. The Brisa is saying as follows, anoyde ben akikar, ma'arvin liba. If one presented a nether on a kikar, he said, I'm not going to, I'm making a nether to abstain from this kikar, it can be used for the Erev. V'afilu omar alai, even should he explicitly say kikar zu alai. Nase ka'omer shvua shaloi ta'amena. Even if he says a lie, it's no worse than a case where he promised, I'm not going to taste it. Because in both situations, whether he's making a shvua, I'm not going to eat it, or a nether that I'm going to refrain from this kikar is asur on me, in both cases, even in the second case, which seems to indicate isur hano, doesn't apply to Erev. Since, as Rashi explained, that's not the ikar hanah of a loaf of bread, it's meant to be eaten. This type of hanah, residual hanah, secondary hanah, is not considered as part of the undertaking of this fellow. So we reinterpret the Brisa, and now it worked well with this approach. But according to Rav Huna, we have difficulty. Mekom ukam, at any rate, kash l'Rav Huna. It's going to be a kash l'Rav Huna. What was the kasha? Because according to Rav Huna, even in the case of kikar zu alai, it's also to be used for the Erev. So when the Brisa is looking for an example of us, Isser, why does the Brisa have to go over to Hegdish to cite an example? The Brisa could simply provide the example of kikar zu alai, if indeed that loch is like Rav Huna. So this Brisa is a kash to Rav Huna. The Brisa indicates to us that even kikar zu alai is mutter, and only Hegdish is also because it's us upon all people, and therefore cannot be used for an Erev. Says the Gemara, you're right, this Brisa conflicts with Rav Huna, but Rav Huna has another source. We have Rabbi Lezer, who's compatible with Rav Huna, who holds that kikar zu alai cannot be used for the Erev. The Sanya, as we went in a Brisa, Rabbi Lezer, shvu shaloi oichal kikar zu. So this is where he promises, I'm not going to eat it, I'm not going to make a masa achila on this kikar. Ma'arvin li ba, that can be used for the Erev. Because although he can't eat it, others can. And he never accepted upon himself Isser Hano. However, kikar zu alai. But if he makes this nether, which applies to the object, this object for me is off limits. Eim arvin leba, that cannot be used for the Erev because it's asur bahano. So this is compatible with Funas Shita. Says the Gemara, is that so? Umi amar Reb Lezer hachi? Does Reb Lezer really hold this Shita? Vatanya zakla. This is the general rule. Adam oisur atzma ba'eichel. If a person prohibits himself in the food. Rashi explains that he says, look, I'm not going to eat this food. He's prohibiting a personal act. In this case, ma'arvan leibo. You can use it for the erev because he's not eating it. Oichel ha'nesloi l'adam. But in a case where the food becomes also to the person, meaning he's applying the issa to the object. He's not depending it on his act. He's saying, this object to me is asr. In this case, a ma'arvan leibo, he cannot use it for the erev because he's having anah from the kikar. Rebleza oimer, kikar zu alai ma'arvan leibo. Even in the case of kikar zu alai, which includes even isra anah, it can be used for his erev. Kikar zu hegdish, a ma'arvan leibo. But if he says this should be hegdish, then it's asr upon all. And something which is unfit for anybody's consumption cannot be used for the erev. Because hegdish cannot be used. So Rabbi Lezer clearly indicates to us that even kikar zu alai would be mutar. So how can you say Rabbi Lezer agrees with Rav Huna? Says the Gemara, indeed, we have two versions of Rabbi Lezer, trei tanoi. There were two tanoim who had different versions in Rabbi Lezer, sheita v'aliv Rabbi Lezer. So according to one version of Rabbi Lezer, it's compatible with Rav Huna. According to the other version, it is not. So in summary, regarding making an erev using hegdish, all agree that's awesome. Regarding a kikar, a loaf of bread, where he undertakes, he says, a shvuah, I'm not going to eat it. So although for him it's off limits, but since it's suitable to be consumed by others, it can be used for the erev. This is in contrast with the hegdish, where that doesn't work because it's asr upon all. So therefore it cannot be used for anybody's erev. Now regarding the case of kikar zu alai, he makes a neder, a vow to abstain from this kikar. This kikar is meant to be off limits for me. That includes not only eating, but even hana. In that case, we have a machlekes. Continues the Gemara. Ma'arvan nazir b'yayin, the Mishnah told us that wine can be used for the Erev, for instance, the Erev Tchumen, even for the Nazir, because this wine is suitable for other people. And one can use Truma for a Yisrael. Ma'asnis and loike b'shamay. Our Mishnah does not concur with b'shamay, the Sani b'shamay, I mean, a ma'arvan nazir b'yayin, who is Yisrael b'truma. They hold, it must be fit for this person's consumption. You can't use yayin for the Nazir, or Truma for the Yisrael. So our Mishnah is following Basil, hold that it's okay to use wine for the Nazir and Truma for the Yisro. Continues the Braisa. Omerlan Beis Hillel Beishamah. So Basil challenged Beishamah. It must be suitable for this individual person. Yeah, to Moedim. Do you not agree when it comes to making an Erev on Yom Kippur? Shema Arvin Legodl B'Yom Kippurim. One can take food and establish an Erev Tchumen, even for an adult, even a Yom Kippur. Although, for him personally, it's unsuitable. Let's take a look at Rashi on the top line. Shema Arvan Legadol, Mishu Gadol, Shevishti Saris, one who's already mature, Shechai B'inoy, who is obligated to abstain from eating. Now, how can you use the Erev for the Gadol? He can't eat it. V'afgav D'lemachal Echazile, establishing the Erev before Yom Kippur, even though tomorrow Yom Kippur is unfit for his consumption. That's still okay. Hoyel v'chazi l'katan she'ena bar oinshin. Since it's suitable for somebody else, a katan, a minor who is not a bar oinshin, who is not yet obligated to fast on Yom Kippur. So apparently, it doesn't need to be suitable for this individual as long as somebody can eat it. That's okay. Likewise, the wine for the Nazir can be used. Says the Gemara on the top line, Amrlan, Aval. So Basila asked him, do you not agree that that can be used on Yom Kippur? So Bisham responded, Aval. Aval means, yes, certainly, I agree to that. Omer Lehen. So Basila responded to Bisham. So what's the difference? Kishem Shema Arvan LeGodol Yom Kippurim, just as you can make an error for the Godol Yom Kippur, although he personally can't partake in this food. Kach Ma'arvan LeNazir B'Yayin. Likewise, you can make an error with wine for the Nazir, or the Yisrael B'Truma, or to use Truma for the Yisrael. What's the difference between this case and that? Says the Gemara, this is the difference. Beishamai, that will respond as follows. Hasam, in the case of the Yom Kippur, Ika Su'uda Haru'uyim Boidyayim. When is he establishing the Erev? When it's still daylight, before Yom Kippur. When does the Erev take effect? At the end, at the last portion of that daylight period. So at that point in time, when the Erev is implemented, is it suitable for his consumption? Certainly, it's still Erev Yom Kippur. Therefore, the Erev can be chal, can take hold. as opposed to the yain for the nazir. Hacha, leka suda ruim b'idyayim. We don't have a suda which is suitable b'idyayim before Shabbos, meaning this wine is absolutely usur for the nazir. Therefore, it cannot be used for the erev. So Bisham agrees somewhat. They say it needs to be suitable, even if it's not suitable on Shabbos itself for this person, as long as it's suitable on erev Shabbos. At the point in time when he's establishing his erev, that's sufficient. Continues the Gemara. According to Bisham Emes Hillel, how does one establish an erev tchumen? Placing food out in the field and establishing that as his Shabbos residence, as his makim shvisa, thereby allowing him to count from there 2,000 amma. He can walk even at a distance of 2,000 amma from that location, even if it's far away from his real home, because that becomes his Shabbos home. Says there's actually another shita which will hold that you cannot establish an erev tchumen merely by placing food out there. Says more kenan. This brisa, which quoted Beis Shammai as holding that you can use, theoretically, you can use food for the erev, just it needs to be suitable for this person. So this brisa, keman, the loike Chananya, doesn't seem to be following Chananya's view of Beis Shammai's opinion. The Sanhedrin we learned, Chananya Omer kol atzman shebeis Shammai, lo hayu moedim. Beis Shammai in totality did entirely disagreed. Be'erev, with this concept of erev, meaning you cannot make an erev like Beis Hillel hold. You can take some food and place it out there on your erev site. That becomes your makom shvisa. No, atche yoytzi mitasoi, until he drags out his bed, v'chol klei tashmishav, and all his personal kelim, his utensils, whatever he needs for Shabbos, he needs to fully supply himself out there in the wilderness. Only then does it become a true makom shvisa. Atche yoytzi mitasoi v'chol klei tashmishav lisham. So this brisa, which indicates that Beis Shammai suffice with merely placing food out there, does not conform with Chananya's view of Beis Shammai, who require much more than that. Continues the Gemara. Kiman azla hadasanya. So the following brisa, the halacha found the following brisa, whose shita does it reflect? The brisa says, irei v'shchir, if one went out to the makam shvisa wearing black clothing, in order to establish that as his Shabbos residence. So he's wearing black. He cannot go ahead afterwards on Shabbos and wear white and carry the white clothing with him beyond the original boundary, meaning he can't rely on that Erev Tumen to carry out white clothing. Bilavonim, or conversely, if he was wearing initially white clothing when he went out to establish his Shabbos residence, lo yetzi b'shchirim. He can't follow on Shabbos with black clothing. He can't rely on the Erev in order to carry to wear black clothing. Kiman, whose shita is reflected here? Omar Nachman Yitzchak Chananya. It's following Chananya's shita, Valid Beis Shammai. Chananya's version of Beis Shammai holds that the Makom Shvisa is only established by taking out all his clothing, everything he needs on Shabbos, and only that gets included in the Shabbos residence. But you can't go ahead and follow with new clothing that were not present in that Makom Shvisa. Says him, one second, even according to Chananya, this is not a smooth halacha. L'chananya, b'shchoyrim u'delayetze. So what are you saying? You can't go ahead and follow with black clothing when he initially created his Makom Shvisa with white clothing. So you can't do that. Ha b'levanim yetze. But if he's wearing his white clothing, the ones that he initially established his erev with, that's okay. He can go wear those very far out, beyond his original boundary, meaning he's going to rely on the erev tchumen for the white clothing that he's wearing. That's also difficult. Why? According to Chananya's version of Beis Shammai, the only way the erev gets established, the makom shvisa gets established, is if initially he went out and transported everything that he's going to need for Shabbos. He's fully stocked and supplied. In this case, where he initially was wearing white, and then come Shabbos, apparently the white didn't suffice. He needed to wear black. He's going to get some black clothing from his home. That wasn't there. It wasn't present out at the Makom Shvisa. So apparently he didn't have everything he needed. He wasn't fully supplied at that Makom Shvisa. So how can he even use the erev to begin with? Let's track a line. According to Chananya, this halacha is also a bit difficult, say that if he was wearing white initially, he can't follow on Shabbos with black clothing and carry them past the tchum. But the white clothing that he's already wearing, that's okay, because this Erev is a valid Erev, despite the fact that he didn't have his black clothing at that location. Ha'amar, didn't Chananya say, the Erev only takes hold if he has everything he needs there, including this black clothing that he's going to need on Shabbos. So how is the Erev valid to begin with? Says the Gemara, Hachikamar. This is what the Brisa means to say. Indeed, Erev Levanim, if initially he was wearing white when he established that Erev, Pusach Hashchirim, come Shabbos, he needed to have black clothing. In this case, it turns out that he didn't have everything he needed, and therefore the Erev is bottom. Afba Levanim LeYetze. Now he can't even use white. He can't even wear his white clothing and rely on that Tchum, because apparently, since he didn't have anything, everything he needed, the Erev never was implemented to begin with. So that's the Pshan de Brisa. And indeed, Keman, whose view is reflected here, on Rachmar Yitzchak, Chananyahi, Valid Beis Shammai, this is Chananya according to Beis Shammai's version, who hold that the Erev only works if he has everything he needs at that location. Continues the Gemara. So getting back to the other Shita, which allows us to use food, allows us to use even food which is not suitable to this specific person. For instance, wine for the Nazir, Truma for the Yisrael. Simchas in our Mishnah disagrees with one of these two things. He says, although wine can be used for the Nazir, when it comes to the Truma, that cannot be used for the Yisrael. You need to have Chulin. Simchas Ami Bechulin. The Gemara is trying to explore what's the difference between wine for the Nazir, which is not suitable for him personally, and the Truma for the Yisrael. Says the Gemara, V'ilu l'Nazir b'yayin li'palak. It seems that Simchas does not disagree when it comes to using wine for the Nazir, he allows it. My time. Why is that? Efshar de Mitchell and Zerusei. Because Simchas holds. Theoretically speaking, the wine is suitable even for the Nazir's consumption on Shabbos. How's that? Let's remember, a Nazir and a Zerus is merely just another version of a nether, of an utterance, of a vow. So a person can go ahead and repeal the nether. He can go ahead and annul the nether. He goes to the Chacham, and he goes through the process of Hataras Nedarim, and he annuls the nether. So Simchas holds, theoretically speaking, the wine is fit to be consumed even by the Nazir. If he decides, well, I'm going to go to the Chacham and repeal my Nazirus. Efshar de Mitchell and Zerusin can go and ask to have his Nazirus repealed, thereby allowing him to drink the wine. Therefore, Simchas maintains wine can be used for the Nazir. Yach, if that's the case, Truma Nami. Likewise by Truma, you have the same method. Efshar de Mitchell away. Truma again is just another version of an utterance, like a nether. So a person has the ability to go ahead and repeal the Truma. So what's the difference between one and the other? If Simchas holds that theoretical permissibility is sufficient, likewise by the Truma for the Yisrael, theoretically speaking, it's muta for the Yisrael, because you can go ahead and repeal the Truma status. Says the Gemara, you're right, but you know what happens? When he removes the Truma status, the produce becomes Tevel again. Tevel is something which is Asur. It hadn't had the Truma removed from it. Therefore, in any case, it's Asur. So either way, you have a problem. In its present state, as its Truma state, it's Asur for the Yisrael. If he removes the Truma state, it goes back to Tevel. And it's Asur regardless. Yihach imit sholah. If he goes ahead and he requests the Truma to be repealed, Hajra l'Tivla. It reverts back to Tevel, and it's Asur regardless. Says the Gemara, we still can have a solution for that. For Livra Shalom Yimakamacha. Okay, let's say he would theoretically repeal the Truma, turns back Tevel, and now he needs to go ahead and separate some Truma. Very simple. He goes ahead and separates Truma for this produce from another location. So he has in his mind, Machshavah says, look, I'm going to do Truma from something I have elsewhere, and that will apply to the Tevel here, thereby making this Tevel Mutter. So this whole method can be employed to theoretically make this Erev here suitable for consumption for the Yisrael. Says the Gemara, to be mafresh Truma from another location, that's really not something that's meant to be done, and therefore it's not a practical approach. Halachically speaking, a person is meant to separate Truma min ha-mukav, when it's right here. L'nechshadu chaverim. Chaverim matamid ha-chacham. They're not suspected of litrim shalem ha-mukav, to do Truma from a distant location. Long distance truma is not acceptable. Therefore, it's not a practical approach. Says, well, we have another solution. So he went ahead and repealed the truma, it turned tevel. Now, he needs to separate some truma. Now, let's remember, truma is only a small fraction of this entire total. So let him go and do that. V'lifra shalamin ebay. He can go ahead and separate from this eruv here, just a little bit, for the sake of truma, thereby being matir, making the rest permitted for his consumption. It says, well, less b'shiur. We're speaking about that he has just a small amount of produce here, which can accommodate this solution, meaning he doesn't have enough. He's going to remove some truma from this food, which only has a shear of 2 sudais, which is required for Erev. He's going to remove a bit of that. He's going to be left with less than the shear required for the Erev. Therefore, this method is impractical. Says Gemara, umay, paska. How do you know that the Mishnah here is speaking about a person who set forth just the right amount of Erev, and therefore if you remove just a little bit of the truma, then he'll have too little for his Erev. Perhaps he's speaking about a case where he left a little bit more. He was a bit generous, and he has enough to accommodate even the removal of the truma. So this gets us back to the question, why does Simchas not allow him to use truma? Theoretically, the truma could be mutter even for the Yisrael, because he can go ahead and remove the truma status. He can go ahead and separate just a bit of this total amount as truma for the rest and allow its use. Says more Ella, rather, Simchas Savalak Rabban. He was like the Shid of Rabbanon. The Amr Yusei. Kodav Shum Shum Shvus. Anytime we have an Issad Rabbanon, so Shvus means refrain, rest. That's referring to Issad Rabbanon. For example, separating Trumas and Maestras on Shabbos is Asr. Because he's fixing the produce, it looks like he's being masakin. It's an Issad Rabbanon. This halacha applies even during Bein HaShmashes, twilight zone between Friday and Shabbos. Gozer Olav Bein HaShmashes. The Chama Gozer, even during Bein HaShmashes. Which is the exact moment that this Erev must take effect. The Erev gets implemented at the first point, at the twilight zone between Friday and Shabbos. Now, since one cannot be Mafesh Truma, Issad Rabban, he can't do it even at that moment. Because Issad Rabban don't only apply to the actual Shabbos day, even to the twilight zone, the Bein HaShmashes, between Friday and Shabbos. So this method is impractical. What was the kasha? Let this truma theoretically be mutter to the Yisrael because he has an option. He has a way to make it mutter. Because at the moment and time with the Erev, when the Erev is going to be implemented, during Bein HaShmashes, theoretically speaking, he can run to the Rav, rule the truma status, separate the truma from the rest, and make it mutter. At that point in time, he's not allowed to separate truma because it's Issad Rabbanon. Therefore, this method is impractical. That explains Simchas Shita. That although when it comes to wine, that can be used for the Nazir because theoretically he can go ahead and annul the Naziris and drink the wine. But when it comes to Truma, since it involves the Issad Rabbanon, which cannot be done by Nashmashes, it's an impractical solution, therefore it's considered to be unsuitable for the Yisrael and cannot be used. So in summary, we actually have 4 Shitas. How one is meant to implement an Eruv Truman to allow him to walk at a distance of 2,000 Amah from that Eruv site which becomes his Shabbos residence. We have the first Beis Shammai who allow food to be used to be placed at the site of the Eruv. However, they require the food to be roi to this for this person, Miboy Joim, at least yesterday, meaning right at the end of the previous day when the Eruv gets implemented, it needs to be suitable for this person's consumption. For instance, the food for the Gadol and Erev Yom Kippur. But when it comes to the Yain for the Nazir or the Turim for the Yisrael, since it's not suitable for this person, it cannot be used. Chananya has a different version of Beis Shammai. An Erev only works if he actually transports his entire household, his bed, and whatever he needs for Shabbos. Only then does it become his true Makam Shvisa, his Shabbos residence, and allows him to walk from there an additional 2,000 Amah. According to Beis Hillel, food is sufficient to be placed by the Makam of the Erev, that creates a Makam Shvisa. And even if the Oichel is roi for other people, and not for this specific person, that's okay. For instance, Yain for the Nazir is okay, Truma for the Yisrael. Simchas agrees that food can be used to create an Erev. But he holds it needs to be roi for this person specifically, at least in theory. Even though, practically speaking, right now he can't eat it. But if in theory, at the moment when the Erev took effect. Theoretically, it could have been worked out that he should be mutter. For instance, he could have removed his Naziris and drank that wine. Then he can use wine. As opposed to the Truma, the Gemara concluded for us, it's an impractical solution. There's no way that can be mutter during the Ben Hashmash of Yisrael. Therefore, Simchas holds, Truma cannot be used for Yisrael. Continues the Gemara. Keman Ozlah Hodesnan. So we just learned that Simchas holds that we reckon with the individual. It has to be roy to him in person. So we have a Mishnah which seems to tell us a similar concept. We follow the individual and his needs. Keman Ozlah Hodesnan. Whose sheet is reflected in the following Mishnah, which says, Yesh Sha'amru Hakoil Lefi Mashu Adam. Sometimes when it comes to establishing a shear, a measurement, a chachamim, followed the individual, his size, his needs. For instance, Muloy Kum to the Mincha, the scoop of the Mincha Karun, which is determined by the size of the Kohen Gadol's fingers, of the Kohen's fingers. Umuloy Chafna of Ketores. Likewise, when it comes to the handful of the Ketores on Yom Kippur, that's determined by the shear of this individual Kohen Gadol. He has to fill, cup his hands, as large as his hands are. So these are individual shear. Or the shear of when one drinks a mouthful of liquid named kippur. So that's determined by each individual and the size of his mouth. Likewise, when it comes to determining the meal size of the two sudas for Erev, we follow the individual, personal needs. Keman, whose shita is reflected here? Amar Avzera Sumchasi. It's following Sumchas Shita, the Amar, who said, Ma'ad Chaz Lebi'inan, the Erev needs to be suitable to this specific person. As we just learned, at least in theory, it needs to be fit for this person's consumption. Apparently, we follow the individual needs of each person. And therefore, when it comes to establishing the shear of the Erev, we follow the individual's needs and his meal requirements. Says the Gemara, Lema Pliga Adiv Shimra Laza. Shall we perhaps say that this Mishnah that we just learned that seems to set the Shi'urim based on each individual and his body size and his personal needs. Perhaps it's a disagreement with Rav Shimon Lazar, who seems to tell us otherwise, that we're meant to determine one shear, one size fits all, for all people equally. The sign as we learned, Rav Shimon Lazar Omer, Ma'arvin l'choyle u'lezokein k'dei mezoinei. We establish the Erev and we determine the size, the amount of food needed for that Erev, for the choyle, the ill person, or the zokein, the elderly man. K'dei mezoinei, we work according to their needs. So since their needs are less than your average individual, the size of the Erev, likewise, is a smaller quantity. Ula Rav's son, however, this gluttonous person, who generally has large-sized meals, we don't follow his personal needs, his personal practice. Besu the beinonis shel kol adam. The size of his Erev is based on the average size, average meal size, of your average person. So apparently we don't reckon with an individual and his needs. Says the Gemara Targuma, let's interpret that Mishnah, which told us that we're meant to follow an individual and his needs, that only pertains achoyle v'zaken, an ill and elderly man, who only require less, and therefore we don't obligate them to create this large size Erev, because they only need less for their meals. Aval Ravson, but when it comes to this gluttonous fellow, who requires more, all agree that we don't obligate him to have a larger size Erev. We're not machmir, because what he's doing is unusual. But ladata itzel kol adam. His practice becomes negated and nullified in face of common practice. So in summary, all agree, Simchas, the Mishnah and Kalim, Shimon Lazar, that theoretically, we follow an individual and his needs. But we're not machmir. We don't say, well, you need more than the average person. Due to the fact that if you have large-sized meals, what you do is butthole, we don't reckon with it, and therefore a standard-sized meal is sufficient. Continues the Gemara. Ulukoyin bevesak hapras. One can place an Erev for the Kohen inside this Beis HaPras, the field where a grave was plowed over, overrun. There's a concern there's some bones lying around which could make the Kohen tummy. So the Rabbani can't walk in there. There's a suffolk that there's some bones around. But he can place the Erev there. Why? The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Theoretically speaking, he has access to his Erev. Menapeach Adam Beis HaPras V'Hoylach. A person could be menapeach, just blow his way through into the Beis HaPras, blow away any possible bones, and walk into the Beis HaPras. So this allows him access to his Erev. So since theoretically he can get there, this Erev is Chal. This Erev is valid. Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami Mishra, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Beis HaPras Shet Nidrash Tor, Beis HaPras was heavily treaded upon, then the whole entire Beis HaPras is Tor, we assume the bones were crushed up, and there is no large-sized bone present. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Af Beis HaKvaros, a person can place an Erev for a Kohen, even in the Beis HaKvaros, amongst the graves. Whereas the Tanakhama holds, you cannot do so. It explains the Gemara why. Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold the Erev works? Tana we learned in the Brayza of Pnei, Shiyachal Lachutz V'Leilich. There's a way for him to get in there theoretically. He can make a chatzitza, a partition, V'Leilich V'Shida Teva Migdal, using a shida, an enclosed carriage, a teva, a large sized chest, a migdal, a closet. Rashi says these things contain 40 saw, meaning potentially they can contain 40 saw. They're large in size. They're no longer considered like a kli, which is makabel tumah. They're considered like an oil, like a tent, like a structure. Therefore, if he goes into this Beis HaKvaros inside one of these structures, that's okay. He's not going to become tameh. So this gives him access to his Erev. Whereas the Tanakhama apparently holds, this type of arrangement won't work. Says the Gemara, Kosovar, Rida holds, oil zorek shmei oil. This type of oil, this type of tent, which is thrown, meaning it's a portable structure, that also is considered an oil, and can make a chatzitza between him and the tumah, allowing him to enter the Beis HaKvaros. Whereas the Tanakhama holds, this type of more portable oil is useless. An oil is meant to be stationary in place, a structure, but something which moves around, portable, is not reckless. We'll plug the Tanoi, and their machlaik is actually compatible with another machlaik Tanoim, who are disagreeing regarding this very same concept. The Sani, as we learned, Tanichnas Laretz Amim, if one enters Chutz Laretz, which has a Tumah, for concern there's some graves there, so if the fellow enters the Eretz Amim Beshida Teva Migdal, using any of these types of contraptions, Rabbi Matami, the person becomes Tami because these are not considered a chatzitz. Rabbi Yossi Rida Matar, he says it's okay, but Maika Miflagi, what is the base of Machlech between Rabbi Yossi, who says that this fellow is Tor, and Tanakhama says Tami, Rabbi says Tami, Mar Savar, Rabbi holds this fellow is Tami. Oil is Zorek Lashmei Oil. A portable oil is not reckoned with. Therefore, this fellow is right now in the Eretz Am, becomes Tami. Umar Sava, in contrast of Yehuda, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda holds, oil zorak shmei oil, a portable oil is an oil, therefore, since he's sitting in this portable oil, he's not influenced and affected by the tomb of Eretz Amim, and indeed, this is the point of contention between the Shittas and our Mishnah as well. Tanakhama maintains, putting an Erev in a Beis HaKvaros is useless, because the Kohen has no way of getting in there. But Rabbi Yehuda maintains, oil zorak shmei oil, he can get in there, sitting in this carriage, which is considered to be an oil, even if it's portable. Therefore, he will be protected from the tomb of the Beis HaKvaros, and he has access to his Erev, and therefore the Erev is valid. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. The more discussed the concept of mazon, according to Rabbi Shmuel, only the chameshes hamin, the five types of grain, are considered mazon, which truly satiate and sustain and nourish. Whereas other types of foods, they're called zon. They are zon. They satiate and fill, but they don't nourish. They don't sustain. Whereas maim melach contain none of the above elements. And therefore, if a person makes a nether, kol hazon alai, I'll refrain from anything which is zon, maim melach are not included. Regarding making an eruv using hegdish, all agree that doesn't work because hegdish is also to be used by anybody. If he makes a shvuah, I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread. He can use it for the eruv. He's not eating it. And since others can eat it, and suitable for this person as well. If he says, Kikar zu alai, he makes a nether, I'm going to refrain from this loaf of bread. So instead of saying, I'm not going to eat it, this bread is asur on me. Which revolves around the question of whether the hana of Erev is included in this person's intention. How do we make an Erev tumen? We have four shitas. According to one version, Beis Shammai, food can be placed at the area which turns into a Shabbos residence. But provided that food is roi for this person, mi bai dai. According to Hanani's version of Yishamai, he needs to bring his entire household out there, whatever he needs for Shabbos, to make that into his makam shvis. According to Basil, he can use food, and even if it's not suitable for him, if it's roi for others, that's okay. According to Simchas, theoretically at least, it has to be roi for this person. And the Gemara concluded that this concept of Simchas, that the food needs to be roi loi, needs to be specifically suitable for this individual, so we reckon with individual needs. This will actually result in a leniency with regards to the size requirement of Erev. For instance, a chayle, ill person, who only requires a small amount of food for his meal, Yes, his Erev can consist of a smaller quantity. But this won't result in a chumrah regarding the size of the Erev. For instance, the Ravson, the gluttonous fellow, who generally consumes a large amount of food. We don't require a large size meal for his Erev. Rather, we follow standard procedure. And even a standard size meal is sufficient for this fellow as well, because bat ladatoi etzel klodem. Then we'll conclude regarding the machlekes. In the Tanakh, Rav Yehuda, whether a person, a kohen, can have his Erev placed in the Beis Hakvaros. According to the Tanakh, it cannot be placed there because this portable oil is not an oil. Whereas according to Rav Yehuda, oil zorek, shmei oil.